How's it going, guys? Welcome back to Strikeout Bros. This is going to be one of those special edition episodes where we get deep on a very interesting topic. And the topic is going to be, are deferred contracts hurting the game? How's it going, Lash? How you doing?
Well, what's going on, man? Definitely going to be a challenge, but this is how you get better.
Definitely. This is going to be, you know, a very, very deep topic. It's going to, you know, explain to a lot of people that don't really understand what's going on, because it's a very, you know, difficult topic to talk about, and it's going to, like, enlighten a lot of people that don't understand what deferred contract means and how it handicaps a Major League Baseball club. Not now, but later on in the future, you know. So basically, a deferred contract means that a player comes to a ball club, and usually it's a high caliber player, you know. For example, Ohtani, you know, because he's the one that really you know, put it out there, and he showed Major League Baseball that he wanted to win fast and win now when he joined the Dodgers. And his contract was like $700 million, I believe, right? So he decided that he was going to defer a lot of his money, meaning that the ball club would end up paying the majority of that contract later on in the future, way beyond, you know, Ohtani's retirement. So Ohtani will probably be in a wheelchair at a nursing home when this money starts coming in. You know, he'll be very far removed from the game of baseball when his money starts coming in. And the reason why we feel like it's hurting the game is because the Dodgers decided that they were, you know, they wanted to be super competitive now, and they wanted to build their team around a lot of superstars, and they wanted to avoid a luxury tax. And we're going to explain all those terms and what this means while we, you know, progress on the show. So, for example, let me explain something to you. So, the collective bargaining agreement, which is basically the agreement between the Major League Baseball's Players Association and Major League Baseball, describing the rules of employment and the financial structure of the game, right? So each ball club has a set amount of money that they're allowed to spend, you know, when it comes to how they want to structure their ball club and roster for the year. So we'll give you an example. So in 2022, Major League Baseball stated that, you know, you were only allowed to spend $230 million to build your 40-man roster, right? So if you spent anything north of that, you would get hit with a luxury tax, all right? So depending on how much money you spent and how much extra you spent, you will get hit with a certain percentage of extra taxes, all right? So now we're in 2024, so Major League Baseball stated that you were allowed to spend $237 million, right, for your 40-man roster, right? Now, a player like Ohtani, who, you know, was able to capitalize on a 10-year contract at $700 million. So you have to understand now, you break that down on a 10-year basis, right, and you were going to pay this guy for the remainder of those 10 years, that kind of money, that would really hurt your ball club, and it would limit the amount of resources and the type of team you were able to build to try to win a championship for this year. But being that Ohtani decided that he was going to defer his payments, because you have to understand that this was his idea coming from his team. Not that it was the first time it ever happened in baseball, but it's happened multiple times in baseball. But since he's one of the biggest stars in baseball in this age right now, and him being a two-way player and being one of the most amazing stars in baseball at this time, the Dodgers really wanted to, you know, capitalize on this type of player, being that, you know, the Angels weren't able to keep him. And, you know, Ohtani realizing that his time spent there, you know, not saying that it wasn't great, but they were unable to win a championship, you know. So Ohtani decided that he would defer 97% of his contract, all right? So understand this. His total value for 10 years was $700 million, but he deferred $680 million of his contract for a later date, okay? So that means that the Dodgers would be able to go and try to get even more greater stars and kind of like build a super team around him to win a championship now. But what people are failing to realize is that by doing that, the Dodgers are going to be in the hole, you know, especially in 2034, which is a long time from now. But you have to understand that this is when these payments are going to start to come in, all right? And it's crazy because it shows that, you know, they built this super team now, right? And they put all these players together, and he was able to help the team with that so they can win now. So if they don't win a championship in the next 10 years, in 2034, they won't be able to build a sufficient team to compete, all right? There's a lot of teams out there that are unable to compete because they don't have the type of player that it takes to build a proper core. So this is why I feel that it's sort of like cheating in a sense, you know, all right? Because you're building a system where, you know, it's built to win now, and then later on you're going to suffer, all right? Because you're putting all these stars together and you're deferring funds that you don't really have now, and you don't understand what the future is going to hold for you, you know? So I can guarantee you that in 2034 and the years to follow that, the Dodgers are going to be non-competitive. And this is why I say there's 30 teams in the league, right? And when you're doing things like this, it's causing a problem for the league, because when a season starts, you kind of like already know who's going to make it to the playoffs, right? So not only is that uninteresting for the fans, because you kind of already know who's going to be playing in the big show. You understand what I'm saying, Lasha? What are your feelings on that?
No, I totally understand. Basically, the purpose of deferred money is it's an easier way to take a large sum of money and able to absorb it in the long term frame, because, you know, it's the analogy I'm going to use is like steak. You know, when you get a fresh steak, you're not going to eat the whole steak in one bite. You know what I mean? You've got to break it down for your body to digest it. Same thing with the team. And also allows teams to have money to go buy other players that may be short term players that they can buy for like a 2 to 3 year deals. And going back to Ohtani, the reason why I did that, because the Dodgers really wanted that pitcher from Japan, Yamamoto. And if they hadn't, if Ohtani had not decided to defer, they probably would have lost Yamamoto to the Yankees or the Mets. So that's what allowed them to get it. So, you're going all in now to potentially hurt your future and down the road, because it's hard. They might be, like you said, down the road 10 years from now, the Dodgers could be one of those inept teams where they're just under 500, not performing well. They don't have top tier prospects. They're just not good. But they have all this money they got to pay out, so it doesn't allow them to get current players that they'll have at the time. But when you're in a win now moment, especially for the Dodgers, you definitely want to, with all the stars they have, you want to try to win it now. You know, Freeman is, what, 34 years old now? So he's got, like, maybe 5 years left out of those 5 years. Maybe you get three good, solid years. Who knows? So things like that. You know, same thing with Shohei. I believe he's in his early 30s. So, or he might be younger than that. Either way, yeah. I think he's, like, in his 20s.
Yeah, I believe he's 29, I believe.
Yeah, so... yeah, it's going to stink because you're going to be paying some guy who's no longer playing on your team, kind of like a Bobby Bonilla situation, the Mets, where you're still paying that guy, or the Chris Davis of the Orioles. You know, you're paying all this money to this guy that's not even contributing to the success of your team. You know, but now, by doing it now, it's opening your window, expands your window to win now. And, you know, we live in a win now moment. There's no more. People don't want to wait and go through the process. It's just people are very impatient nowadays. So it will be interesting how it works. I don't know if it'll work. Oh, you'll know it'll work if they win a chip. Because if they win a chip, any team that has big players on their team, if they win the chip, then it's all worth it because they're like, well, we won a World Series. And, you know, who cares what's going to happen 5-6 years from now? You know, who knows? We don't care because we'll ever won a chip. So it's, you know, it's. They're hoping is that the reward outweighs the risks.
Exactly. They're hoping so that the it goal. Pays off. Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, but you have to understand that, you know, they did it multiple times. You know, they have multiple players on the team that have deferred contracts. So it's going to really hurt them in the long run. Okay. So, like, they have Mookie Betts as well, right? And Mookie Betts did the exact same thing. So, like, Mookie Betts has a 12-year contract, right? $365 million. And $115 million of that contract is deferred as well. Okay, so you have to understand that that's 31% of that contract was deferred until 2033. So that means that Mr. Betts is going to be collecting $8 million to $11 million annually each July 1st through 2044. He will be 51 years old. How many years removed from the game is this man going to be and still be collecting from the Dodgers? The Dodgers understand that this is going to hurt them in the future, but they're on a win now type of situation because they did this, all right? Another player is Freddie Freeman. Did the same thing with him. All right, this is very interesting. You know, this is why they have a super team now. But I have to understand that they're not going to be able to compete in the future. All right, so if they don't win at least two championships in the next 5-6 years, this is a bad bet. You want to? What's the right term for this? What's the right wording for this? Like, it was a bad investment. There you go. That's the terminology I was looking for. It's a bad investment, you know? And this is the, you know, at the cost of having, you know, 5-6 superstars on your team. And it takes away from the game because, all right, there's ball clubs that, you know, maybe were able to afford Freeman and not afford Otani because Otani's, you know, a special type of player. So, all right. So you have to spread out the, you know, these stars amongst these 30 teams, you know, versus trying to pile them all up on one team and trying to win a championship. And I don't know if you know this because the Dodgers, yeah, they won in that COVID season. And, yeah, in the last couple of years, they were able to win over 100 games, but they weren't unable to accomplish the big goal, which means win the World Series, right? So prior to the COVID season, this team has not, you know, they've succeeded, but they can't finish the ultimate goal. And the ultimate goal is to win the World Series. So they always had amazing stars, but they were unable to finish. So they feel that, you know, by acquiring all these stars and setting up these contracts where they kind of like stay under the radar and under the luxury tax based on what the major league rules state, you know, they want to build a super team and they want to compete. Yeah, they're winning games, but they're unable to compete in the postseason because they're getting knocked out, you know. They were able to win, in a season where I believe it was a 60-game season. Obviously, they were able to do that. They were winning 100 games prior to that for the last two seasons prior to the COVID season. So, obviously, they were able to demolish the rest of the league in a short season. It's not like they don't come off the gates when they start the season, but they were able to perform on that level and win that championship. But they were, you know, they're unable to win. They haven't proven it to us yet, you know. And 10 years from now, they won't even be able to compete because they won't be able to put a team like that together unless they start, you know, they continue to do the same thing over and over again. And this is why I feel like it's cheating in a sense, you know what I'm saying? Because a team like the Mets could have competed in that race and said, all right, you know what? We actually have the money to pay this $700 million over the next 10 years, and I have to defer any funds so this way we can stay competitive throughout, you know, the years later in 2040, 2044, 2054. No, but if you're paying players that are out of the game for 20 years and you're still paying these players, you know, their contracts, it definitely hurts the game, it hurts the league, and it hurts your team most of all.
Yeah, you know? No, definitely. You know, you were saying earlier it was a bad investment, but any investment you make, there's a big reward risk. So whether you invest in the stock market, whether you invest in the business, whether you invest in a car or a house, you know, it's only a bad investment if it doesn't work out. So right now, you can't say it's a bad investment. We don't know yet. We just think, based on past experiences with teams that made large amount of investments on players like the Ohtanis of the world, it didn't work out. For example, right now, look at the Los Angeles Angels. They invested a lot in Mike Trout. He's been very great. He's performed, but have they won anything with him? No. I'm not saying that. So in that sense, the reason why they invested that much money in Mike Trout is because he's a great player, but he's not contributing to wins. But because they invested so much money and they didn't defer, they can't build up around them and buy pieces that they need, whether it's more offensive power, whether it's pitching, things like that. That's why they weren't able to keep Ohtani, you know, because they gave Trout such a big contract. And I don't blame him. You know, Mike Trout is homegrown. So he's a perfect example of someone why he would say, well, that risk wasn't worth it. It's worth it in the sense that the player individually is met up to the contract as far as his performance goes, but it hasn't contributed to the Angels being contenders in the playoffs or even winning the World Series.
I agree. I think you made a big, valid point there. But, you know, when you have a high-caliber player like that and you spend so much money on him, you're unable to build around him and build a proper core. And especially if you're trying to build a championship with, like, high-caliber players and you're not building a proper farm system and developing these players where you don't have to spend as much, it causes problems for you, you know? So, like, you have teams like the Yankees, the Dodgers, you know, they have this win now mentality, and they're going above their means to, like, you know, stay competitive. It hurts the league in a sense, you know, because imagine if you were able to spread out the wealth of the league, and the wealth meaning these high caliber players, you know, it would be a more well rounded league, you know, and it would make the fans want to go to the stadium a little bit more, spend a little bit more money, because you can honestly say, you know what? My team actually has a shot. I'm going to go to the team with my whole family and spend $300 on today's game. Because, you know, after, you know, you buy your kids hot dogs, you know, you buy a couple of beers for yourself, your wife, and your friend from work a beer, you know, and, you know, you tally up how much you spend at the end of the day, and your team wins, you say that was a good outing, that was a good day, you know? But it's a little interesting, you know. There's a couple of teams out there that, you know, overspend, and they're trying to go above their means, and they're doing a little bit too much, and it's hurting a lot of different factors. But that's just my opinion. This is an opinion-based episode, and, you know, we're shooting it right now and trying to get to the nitty-gritty.
Yeah, no, definitely. You know, a team that's currently in the deferring stage right now is the Washington Nationals. It's been like 2 years, maybe 3 years at best. You know, their star pitcher at the time was Steven Strasburg. He's obviously retired. He's no longer playing. So now they're currently in that deferred stage. So currently, they're now, his contract was worth about $245 million deal. So by deferring the money from 2027 through 2029, and every summer, they have to pay him $26.6 million for the next, for those 3 years starting in 2027. So now a team like the Nationals, I bring them up because they're a young team. They're trying to rebuild. So they don't have stars anymore. They let go of Soto. They let go of, Anthony Rendon. You know, he went to the Angels, yes. Things like that. So they let go of the team. Basically, the team that they had that they won the World Series with in 2019, all those players are gone or retired. Strasburg happens to be one of those guys who's no longer in the game. And even if Strasburg was still playing in the league, let's say he was playing for like the Mets or some other team, the Nationals are still on the hook for that money. You know what I mean? It just went, whatever team had, let's say a team did pick him up, they're only required to pay him for that current year, whatever it is. But that's not the case. So the team like the Nationals, that's a lot of money because, you know, they have some young stars. Their best player that they got traded in the Juan Soto deal was C.J. Abrams. He's their future star. He's a shortstop, and he's their best talent that they have. But he's on the contract, but when his contract ends, let's say he has the in these next couple years, he has all-star caliber years. When he comes to be a free agent, there's a very good chance they might not be able to re-sign him because they had to give $26 million to a guy who's literally sitting on the couch doing nothing.
That's pretty crazy.
Now, granted, Strasburg was, you know, he played to his contract. He played well. He pitched well. They won a World Series. So that's a contract that actually worked.
Worked out for them, yeah. And you understand that. This is the same thing that I was talking to you about the other day, right? Okay, I'll give you a perfect example, right, of what we were talking about the other day so the folks out here can understand. So the Yankees are going all in, right? Now, they're trying to talk to Soto now, so this way he doesn't hit the free agent market, and they want to lock him in. But I can guarantee you, you know, this is just speculation, but this is what I feel from being a true baseball fan. I feel like if the Yankees go all in, right, and they're able to land Paul Goldschmidt and Arenado before the trade deadline, and they win a championship with Soto and this high caliber ball club that they're trying to fucking put together, excuse my language, they are not going to sign Soto because they can rebuild after that. You know, right now the Yankees want to stay relevant. They want to win a championship. And they know they have something special, and they know that if they add the right pieces to it, and you have to understand, Cole's not back yet, LeMayfield's not back yet, and if these guys come back and they're competitive, and they bring in Paul Goldschmidt and Arenado from St. Louis Cardinals, who seem to be sellers at this moment, oh my God, they're going to be a force to be, you know, they're going to be a force. And is it going to be the Dodgers that we're facing? We don't know yet. You know, like we said, the Dodgers haven't been able to prove to us that, you know, they can compete in the postseason. Yeah, they'll win 100 games, but are they going to be competitive in the postseason? They made a lot of big moves. They have Ohtani right now. Ohtani's not pitching, and Ohtani's having a triple crown type of season at this moment. I know it's early, but he's already putting up the numbers, and he's moving in the right direction to probably be able to do that. So, is it going to be the Dodgers versus the Yankees? You know, I'm a Mets fan, and, you know, I always said the Braves, you know, were the number one seed in the National League, but as of today, Acuna is out for the season. I just saw it come over the screen. He's out for the season. And you know what? We saw the Dodgers perform without him, and they were able to win a championship, correct? Without Acuna. Am I right?
Yeah, the Braves, the year 21, the way he tore his left ACL. This one is his right ACL. And they won the chip. So whoever replaces him in the outfield is a big shoes to fill. But it's not the outfield you got to replace. It's his bat. That's dangerous.
And no, it's 100% correct. So this is a 40-40 type of guy. He's going to get 40 steals. He's going to get 40 home runs. This is a big problem for Atlanta at this moment. You know, and they lost Strider already. Am I right or wrong, right? They lost Strider, right?
They lost Strider in the beginning of the year. They still don't have Sean Murphy, their catcher. He's been out since the beginning of the season. They're taking the slings and arrows early, and it's not looking good because they've been losing because of it.
Yeah.
So I don't know if this is going to start a downhill spiral, but I don't think so. Atlanta's too good of a team.
They are.
They've done just fine without Murphy, and they've done okay without the guy that they have replacing Spencer Strider. He's been pretty good, Jimenez. So I'm confident they'll be okay.
Yeah, I think they'll be okay. But you have to understand that the Phillies they started out early. Usually, they're more club like the old Yankees that started off slow and then ramped it up a little prior to the All-Star break and then kind of like took over. But the Phillies this year, for some reason, have started out really great, and they're on a tear. It seems like they have really good chemistry, and they almost look like they can, take over the division this year. And they've been in the postseason. This would be the third, postseason in a row if they continue to do what they're doing now. So we see things changing. We see things moving in a different direction. But we'll see. We'll see, We'll see. I'm still, counting on the Orioles to take over the division and show the Yankees that you don't have to spend all this money, and it's easier and better for your ball club and the future of your ball club to just build on your prospects, But we'll see what happens with that. But I definitely believe that, deferred contracts, is more of a let's win now and let's not worry too much about the future. But that hurts everybody. It hurts everybody. It hurts your ball club. It hurts your fan base. It hurts a lot of people out there. It hurts other teams that want to be competitive, But we shall see. I mean, we try to explain to you guys, the basics of what a deferred contract is, and we appreciate you guys for, listening in on us. And we'll be back shortly with another good one for you guys. We do a lot of powwows and, brainstorming on, what we think needs to be, put out there so we can enlighten you fans that don't understand certain things about Major League Baseball, and we try to get deep on you guys. This has been a really interesting season, and I hope you guys enjoy this show. And we'll see you on the next one.
Take care, man.
Take care, brother.